swimming like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here on the Business Radio X Networks, where we interview the brightest and best CEOs and owners of businesses in and around in Atlanta and throughout the state of Georgia. You know, every week on the Shrimp Tank, we learn the do's and don'ts about starting, growing, and running a successful business. This is what we do here. And from time to time, we get to bring on wonderful students, the kids, the future of tomorrow, who are entrepreneurs. And they give us some live pitches in here. And I think in 2017, you're going to see a lot more live pitches. We learn about the businesses and we learn how to make people successful. I don't know if we're making America great again, but we are taking it one step at a time. And I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkin, coming here every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. Chris, what's going on today here on a Thursday morning?
On a Thursday morning, I guess one word is going on, and that is reflection.
Reflection. Is this a deep time of year for you?
It is.
Reflecting on your sins or just reflection
in general? Just reflection in general, because you know it is not experience that makes us better. We think that, oh, it's the end of the year. I got one more year of experience and that makes me better. It is not. It is evaluated experience that makes us better. So if you don't take time to reflect, you can't learn from your mistakes and you can't become better. Because I think we all know people who have 20 years, they say, I've got 20 years of experience. No, dude, you got 1 year of experience, just repeat it 20 times.
So this whole notion that apparently the you of today will be a better you 5 years from now is not actually true unless you reflect on your experiences.
Absolutely. It's the evaluated experience. We have to say, okay, what went well? What didn't go well? And what did I learn from that? And so that way, how do we make 2017 the best year, both personally and professionally?
Well, we'll be excited in a few minutes to bring on our guest today, Joe English, who's a partner at Taylor English, the purpose-built law firm. We want to hear more about that today. But I do want to say that we spent a little bit of time in each show talking about Kennesaw State and what's going on there at the KSU, now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, which is really amazing things that Chris Hanks has done there as the executive director and founder. And are we getting to the point now that we're about to start the whole KSU 100? Is that coming?
We are, yeah. We had a little pre-competition in our the classroom, sort of the pre-KSU Top 100. And we had a winner of that, actually mentored by Lee Heisman, which
Again?
Is shocking.
Again? Yeah. It seems like there's some bribery here going on.
You know, there's
KSU.
Something going on.
Now, what was the business that won here?
So it had to do with socks. We had Allie in here, who was also on the Shrimp Tank, talking about her sock business.
And oh yeah, what kind of socks are those? Puppet socks or something like that?
No. Socks that are inspired by local artists. So they design the socks and she's going to sell them. And
what's the name of the company?
It is Socks. What is it, Lee? Is Socks? Gosh, I'm embarrassed that I forgot the name.
Guys?
Socks.
You guys mentor somebody? You don't even know the name of the business?
Yeah,
what kind of show?
It's
what kind of program are we running
socks.
Here?
I don't know.
Time to reflect.
So yes, yeah. So that's something for me to add to my list of reflections.
Well, our board operator and fellow host here on the Business Radio X Networks, Ryan Redhawk, said that the question of the holiday season should be what? What is the question here? This is the reflection question. Joe, certainly you can answer this before we get to you here, but what's the question?
I've been asking this everywhere I go. Is Santa Claus a conservative or a liberal?
Now, Chris, you should be able to answer that. No, or do you have some like a KSU set of rules that says you have to be completely diplomatic and cannot decide one way or the other because it could affect your professorial relationship KSU?
My pontification is Santa Claus a conservative or a liberal? That's a really interesting question.
What's not
I can
hard
argue
for,
both
it's
sides?
It's not
of
hard
that.
For me. I'm not
going
to
really.
You
which
can
way
argue
are you going?
I have made a case. I've been asking this all weekend at Christmas parties and wherever I go, and I can make a case. Whatever the one person says, I will take the opposite.
So you can go both sides of that.
I can go both sides of that. Yeah, and I'm sure Mr. English could as well.
By training, yes.
Yeah, right. So But yeah, and so it Santa Claus is on everyone's mind, and so we've got to ask. Is
now, what's been the popular vote? Has it been 50-50?
It has been, I would say, 50-50. I think it depends on which way you lean as a person, personally, professionally, would probably how you would interpret Santa Claus, because that means how you then give back to your family, your community, and so
on. Then, of course, Lee Heisman and myself are wondering, is Harry Hanukkah? Because there is a Harry Hanukkah. Is he?
Harry?
No. I did buy Lee, I will say, Lee Heisman, who does host the show from time to time, but also really runs. He's the brains behind all of this. But I did buy him the Mensch on the Bench for the holiday season. Have you seen that?
The Mensch on the Bench.
Do you know what
I'm
a Mensch is? Do you know what a Mensch is?
I've heard of the Mensch, yes, okay. Absolutely.
Well, if you see Lee, that's a Mensch. You don't have to. The definition there is small picture. It's a Mensch on the Bench. That's what it is. You know, there are these Jewish words from time to time that people hear, and they know they mean something. They hear them from time to time, you know? Things like schwitzing and things like that. You know, those are the kinds of words.
I don't know if I should be using those kind of words.
You could. I mean, any Yiddish word will do, Ryan. Okay. It doesn't really matter. You know, when it comes to mind, that sounds good. You use it here and there. It makes you seem like you know other languages, although you really don't. But those kinds of things are important.
Yeah. Lee accused me when I used the word spiel in front of him the first time as that being a Yiddish thing. But that's not a Yiddish thing, though, is it?
Spiel? I think so.
Is it?
It was some lady named Sylvia came up with that in probably the late 1800s, something like that. But all right. Well, enough antics in here today. Although I do want to wrap up the show today, and I do want to hear what Chris Hanks says is the greatest entrepreneurial story that he teaches in class, the greatest entrepreneur that he talks about. I do want to know that at the end of the day. It's my own plead the fifth question for Hanks here today. But we're going to bring in our guest today, and you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm Ted Jenkin. Your co-host sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, is the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. Now, we've got Joe English with us today. And if you want to know about building a law firm, boy, does Joe know about building a law firm, has built an unbelievable operation. He's a partner at Taylor English, which isn't just two guys. I think it's like 200 guys now. I don't even know how many. But I guess I want to start off today, and I know that, you know, a lot of lawyers get a law degree, but and they work for a firm for a while. But what is this old note I saw about the purpose-driven, the purpose-built law firm? What is that exactly?
Oh, thanks for having me, Ted. I appreciate it. It's nice to be here. So the purpose-built law firm is basically the idea that I got to the middle area of my practice life, like a lot of my cohorts had been out 20 years, you know, had done the big firm thing, and in some cases have seen inefficiencies that were not really servicing the client and putting the client first. And so when Taylor English was started, it was really started with the idea of if you could start a firm from scratch and build it, how would you build it? And how would you build it with the client first? Putting the client in mind, stripping away things that legacy firms have a hard time letting go of, even if they want to, because of just how long they've been around and the way the ship is built. Mm-hmm. So our idea was, if you could start a firm from scratch, how would you build it in a way that puts the client first and takes inefficiencies away in a way that benefits the client and not really the lawyers.
So what does that look like as far as executing something like that? If you're going to, which is it's an interesting frame of reference for me. Like if we had to sort of a do-over, you know, how do we build it from scratch? How do we complete something, create something completely different, something that's no one's done before? But executing something like, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So what advice would you give as far as execution?
I think you've got to throw notions out the window, preconceived notions out the window. And so if you think about our law firm, it really starts with the very simplest thing of where we're located. Traditionally, firms of our size, we have about 140 lawyers now, total with staff, a little over 200 folks. Traditionally, a law firm of that size, that's a full-service business firm, would be in a big building in Midtown or downtown or Buckhead. So for us, it really started with the dirt. I mean, where are we going to be and what does that say about us? And so we got Class B nice office space in Cobb County. You know, we have over time gotten to be the major tenant in our building. And what we thought was where you are isn't really for the client's benefit. It's for the lawyer's benefit and kind of the, at you know, the cachet of how high, you know, what floor you're on. That stuff doesn't serve the client. So it really starts with something for us that simple, just throwing away preconceived notions of what a law firm has to look like.
And a lot of service businesses, you know, financial businesses, legal businesses, accounting businesses, you know, a lot of times a consumer can't make a distinction between one firm or another. So how do you go about marketing a law firm in such a way that people hear names, they hear the Taylor English, or, you know, they hear King and Spalding, or they hear these names, but it's like, I don't know what that means. I just feel like it's going to make me pay a lot of money. How do you market yourself to make the business differentiate amongst other firms out there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a lot of it does really start with that we set ourselves up differently, and we are purposely trying to be different. So all of our marketing materials will talk about that we're a new breed of law firm, or that we're purpose-built for the client, with the idea that we want to be a disruptor in the providing legal services, and that we can separate ourselves just in the way we market ourselves. That you have to have the expertise. You know, it has to start with great lawyers, and then it's a question of you know, delivering value to the clients. And once you start delivering value to the clients, and you build a full service firm, and where you have all these practice areas that can service clients, business clients in numerous different ways, then the clients become a big source of your marketing, and it's word of mouth.
Sure.
Because one of the issues with building a firm our way is we're skinnied down, and so we don't have a big marketing budget. So we don't spend a lot of money on marketing, and money we do spend, we have to spend it very smartly. So word of mouth, client referrals, that's really the way we've made our mark as a differentiator.
Hmm. So I'm curious about how, when you talk about marketing, a lot of people use law firms when negative things are happening. And so you, and I can't necessarily see the value. If you spent 10 hours drafting a letter for me, or a cease and desist or something like that, I don't see the value. I just, you know, like, so how do you create value with clients when you're dealing with an area that's, for a lot of people, they feel like it's a negative, like, okay, gosh, you know, I have to go meet with my attorney because something bad is happening.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it actually raises a good point about the billable hour. And the billable hour is a creature that was invented by lawyers and law firms. This is not, the clients didn't say, can you charge me by the hour? What the client want is the result, and they want to know.
True. Yeah.
They want to know what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
So we have been very aggressive in proposing alternative fees to clients and saying, rather than set this up so we start doing the work and then later we tell you what it's going to cost, how about if we price it this way? Now, interesting, a lot of resistance to that comes from clients because they're just not used to buying services that way. But for us, we would like to see fewer, less reliance on billable hours, I would say, and more on what is value for what the client got. And when you're a firm like ours, and you've only been around 11 years, and you've grown from, you know, a very small firm to a full service firm, one of the biggest, I guess, in the city. You don't have a 50-year name or 100-year name to fall back on. So we have to provide value and make our case with every engagement, because we don't have institutional clients that have been with us for a long time. So every engagement is an important engagement for us, and the client satisfaction in each case is what's most important.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. We're coming to you live from Sandy Springs every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30. And one of the things I wanted to tell you is that you can get a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. But more importantly, if you want to download us on iTunes, you can listen to us in the car. hear our great interviews from CEOs that we did this year. This year has been amazing. We've had top people from all sorts of businesses throughout the entire year. We're sitting here today with our guest, Joe English. He's a partner in Taylor English. I like this slogan here. I keep thinking about this, the purpose-built law firm, which is amazing stuff. And what I wonder about this is the hyper-growth that you're talking about over the last 11 years. You go from maybe 10 attorneys to 200 attorneys. How do you, as a leader in the organization, maintain culture? Because certainly there's, like any business, a bunch of people that say, I have to pay bills, take care of my family, and hustle to get business. How do you maintain the culture of what you started when you had a smaller law firm?
Well, that's a great question. Culture is paramount to us, and we preach it all the time. It has to start from the leadership, and it's little things like a culture of sharing, a culture of gratitude, culture of collaboration. And these are things that our firm leadership talks about all the time, and we also walk that walk. So let's say the way something would work in a law firm is a client comes in, they have a matter they want worked on, right? If there's not a culture of collaboration, then that lawyer is going to keep what they get. In a culture of sharing, which does start from the top, that kind of business is distributed around, and multiple people get the chance to touch that client and build the relationship. And we also do it with little things like we involve our staff in a lot. We have a chili cook-off every year.
Oh, that's fun.
We have a Halloween party. We have a 4th of July party where we during the day, we have events that involve the staff. We have Santa come in. I don't know if he was Christian or liberal or conservative when he came in, but yeah, we had, you know, Santa come in, and people bring their kids in at Halloween. The kids walk around, come in, dress up, walk around.
Hanks and I will dress up as Marvel comic characters next year for Halloween. What
oh,
do you
there
say?
You go. Oh, I'd like to know who.
I'll go as Iron Man. I'll do
Wait,
it. I'll
Iron Man? Yeah, that's who you'd go with.
Yeah, I could scare some kids for a few hours. It's all good.
So you spend a lot of your time advising business owners and navigating them through all this, all the challenges. What's the thing that you see that business owners do consistently that you go, wow, that's a really dumb thing to do?
That's a great question. I would say what we see, I'm an employment lawyer, so that's really my biggest frame of reference is employment law.
That's a nice dress on. Yeah. That's not good. Yeah, that's not good.
We will have full employment always in the labor and employment field because no matter how much training you do, people are going to say what they're going to say, and they can't distinguish between the workplace and a nightclub sometimes. Mm. The biggest mistake I see employers make is not listening to their people and thinking that they're the smartest person in the room. And when people don't feel appreciated, they kind of mentally check out. And that's where schisms can happen and divisions. And that's where lawsuits come from.
Well, Hanks, apparently at Oxygen, we need to stop Halt or Top Monday. That's got to go somewhere. But we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we get back in just a minute with Joe English from Taylor English, a partner there, we're going to get through our hot or not section. And I want to find out, is Andy Warhol art in the lobby hot or not? We'll be back right back on the Shrimp Tank.
Let me tell you about a little company called Savant. You know, in business, it's either time or money. You know, your employees may be wasting time all day long when they're trying to fix computer issues. It doesn't have to be their problem. You know, they're running around the office looking for things to do, and fixing those computers should not be one of them. At Savant, they have experts that can work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Whether you have Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. For Lee and his team at Savant, they can make it happen. Their battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 today.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live right here in the Business Radio X Networks, 11:30 to 12:30. Thanks for joining us during your lunchtime. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And boy, those guys at Savant, they do know what they're doing. I have to say, they went out of their way recently to take care of one of my 84-year-old clients. His name is Stanley. And when I tell you that Stanley cannot work a computer, he doesn't even know where the A or B button is on the computer. We're not talking about typing or anything like that. I'm afraid that Lee didn't even hack his PayPal account while he was on there. Nothing like that. So it was all good. But they do a great job at Savant. We're sitting here with our guest today, Joe English, who's a partner at Taylor English. We're talking today about the purpose-built law firm. We get to our hot or not section here, which is all about asking those questions of what does Joe think about different parts of business? And I was curious, as I said in the break, and I was teasing this up, you go to these law firms today. I won't name any names in here, but it seems like my bill goes to the art in the lobby. So in this new breed of law firms, is art in the lobby hot or not? Do you have to have a Penley in the lobby to basically be a good law firm?
It goes back to the question. It's not. It's not hot.
Not hot.
Not
right?
hot. It goes to the question of what is value to the client and what is there for the lawyers. And I think sophisticated clients look at the Penleys in the lobby and look at the fact that their ears are popping to get to their lawyers' offices, and they're saying, "Who's paying for this?"
Oh, I know who's paying for it. You know, the way they do it, honestly, I think at most of the law firms today, because I feel like when you own a company, pretty much you pay bills to lawyers. That's kind of what you do. But a lot of times they don't even call you to tell you what the bill is going to be. You give them some work, and then one day a bill shows up in the mail and says it's $2,800. And you say, who called me? I mean, is that hot or not? Like, I mean, it's just sending a bill in the mail. It just seems odd to me. If I ever did that, I mean, people would get pissed off at me.
Yeah, I think it's not hot because the communication is the key to the employer, to the attorney-client relationship. And, you know, in the perfect world, lawyers are more than vendors. We're trusted advisors. And if you don't know what something's going to cost and you get a surprise in the mail, you know what you're not going to do is you're not going to send that right to your payables department and get that check back out. If you know what's coming, then you're going to turn it around and because you feel like you got value.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the value versus time and billable hours. I always felt like you're inherently incented to be a worse attorney because if it takes a good attorney 2 hours, but it takes you 4 hours to do it, you're incented to spend longer, or at least bill me more hours as opposed to something that could be done in half the time. So the concept of I'm paying you for the time that you spend as opposed to I'm paying you for the value you create. I know which one's more attractive from an entrepreneurial perspective.
Right. And a lot of times, why does something take 2 hours instead of 4 hours? It's because someone has the experience to do it more effectively. And so one of the tenets of our firm is we have almost all senior lawyers, seasoned folks like me who've been, you know, we're gray hairs. We've been out in the field for 20, 30 years. We don't have a lot of junior lawyers. And that is another way we're sort of purpose built. We don't have the pyramid with a lot of junior lawyers down at the bottom who get trained on the client's dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing. You talk about this idea of billing people. You always think about how you feel like you get ripped off at the auto dealership and they, you know, say, how much is it going to cost? And they're like, let me check the book. You know, you're like, what book? I mean, I didn't know there was a book. And there's like, you know, there's a book in there and the book says, oh, well, it's estimated to take 3 hours to do this job. And whether they do the job in 1.5 hours or 3 hours, they still bill you for 3 hours.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's the way it works in the book. So with a law firm like you have today, is it hot or not to bring on more equity partners?
It's hot. It's hot. Let me tell you why. It depends on the model of the firm. In our firm, it's hot. We just restructured our partnership this year to go from 22 equity partners to about 75.
Wow.
Of our partners.
Triple.
Yeah. So we converted about more than 50 lawyers from non-equity or counsel status to partner because we want more people sharing in the opportunities, the equity that goes with it. Nice. And in a way, all of our lawyers have equity because every lawyer in our firm from the most junior person can take profit origination on their own matters. And that's kind of unusual in our business.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Hot or not, arbitration?
I'm coming from the employment perspective. And from the employment perspective, I've got problems with arbitration. Surprisingly, in the employment front, arbitration has so many due process protections built into it that it's not faster. It's often not cheaper. And the result is, like the word arbitration, it can be arbitrary, and it's very, very difficult to get it overturned. In the employment world, a lot of our disputes get resolved by written motions and a judge ruling on the written motion. In arbitration, you've got an arbitrator who makes the most money if he holds the hearing.
Oh, interesting. Didn't realize that. Huh.
It's interesting. I always wanted my name. I don't know about you. What I love about lawyers is that lawyers will always sound smarter than any of us in the room. And one of the reasons is that once you resolve a case, you officially have a case name that you can refer to. So I was looking on here, like it's, I don't know if it's Natal or Natalie versus Scranton Dodge, but I love that because Joe could sit there and basically say, well, I defended, it looks on here like Harwell versus Zyax. You can't say that stuff. Or Zyback. I can't say that kind of stuff.
Scranton Dodge, Scranton was my hometown. So I had a great time doing that case. Yeah.
That's a good part of the country. Yeah. That's close to Amish country up there, right?
It is. Yeah.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania out that way, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Do you think the hot or not, is it hotter to be on as an attorney today on a retainer model, or is it hotter to be on an hourly model? What seems to go well? I say this because I had an attorney I was doing business with. Apparently, I need to give my business to Taylor English here because I literally got a bill in the mail. Ryan, you're going to love this one. And it was classic because we went out to lunch and there was no business discussed. It was just a lunch. And I got a bill that said gratis, 0 hours, lunchtime with Mr. Jenkin. And I thought to myself, I don't understand what this is. What is this? I should have been ingratiated that we spent time and you didn't bill
That's right.
me. Because I bought you a steak. That doesn't make any sense to me. So is it an hourly, a retainer? What's hotter in the trend of legal work?
The trend is definitely to go toward alternative fees. Alternative fees, which could be a retainer. That's worked down. It could be a flat fee for a matter. It could be a blended sort of contingency where the lawyer and client share the risk in the matter, and then share in the reward for a good result as the client defines a good result.
Very interesting stuff. Well, we're going to take a break. I know Chris has got a few more questions. We got to take a break from our sponsors. When we get back in just a minute on the Shrimp Tank, I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with Chris Hanks, my co-host. We're going to get to a plead the fifth section. This may be one of the few times we get to do it with a lawyer. Can we get a lawyer to plead the fifth when we come back right here on the Shrimp Tank?
Now is my favorite time of the show. I get to tell you about Oxygen Financial. Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now is the time to get a plan. Set up time today and start your 21-day budget cleanse. You will feel better. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting, no charge. Just go to oxygenfinancial.net to get started today, and you will thank us later. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live right here, 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday in the Business Radio X Networks. Remember, you can always download a replay of the first two segments we did with Joe English today and all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. And definitely download us on iTunes. Look, if you haven't been able to listen to us in a week or two, you got a few car rides over the holidays, you don't want to listen to your in-laws or your kids in the car, what a great idea to basically plug in some headphones. That is, of course, unless you can't plug in headphones in certain areas where they'll pull you over. And listen to some of the Shrimp Tank. It's all really great stuff. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. KSU is exploding. Mark my words when I tell you, I don't know about this whole U.S. News and World Report stuff. I don't even know if I buy that stuff anymore until they put Kennesaw State in the top 100. Then I will buy it. But for now, they put in like low-grade universities like Stanford, Princeton, Harvard, ones like those in there.
We didn't fill out the paperwork this year. There's a whole bunch of paperwork to get on those lists.
Is that right?
Didn't fill it out. Not to, as far as ranking our entrepreneurship.
So you can't get in there without putting paperwork in?
And the paperwork is very burdensome, and they ask unknowable questions that you're forced to sort of guess at and or exaggerate. So chose not to do it. We probably will down the road, but because we have to play the numbers game a little bit. But we chose not to fill that out this year.
Well, I'm telling you what, it is going to be on the list. I feel very confident with the leadership there. what's going on at that school, you're going to see some amazing stuff. So we get now to our section, which is really, really fun, especially with the lawyer today. This just makes it extra fun, where we get into the plead the fifth section. So I'm going to kick this thing off and say, I'm going to ask Joe, have you ever had a client pull a weapon on you? Has a client ever literally like or threatened to pull a gun, knife, or anything that might be life-threatening on you in all your time being an attorney?
Never a client and never an opposing counsel. which might be more likely.
So I'm curious because you start off as an attorney and then you build this incredible business. So you had to transition from lawyer to entrepreneur. I mean, what's the biggest part of entrepreneurship, of business ownership, do you struggle with the most?
You know, in the beginning, it was really trying to think of a business that's such a traditional business as a business that you could be an entrepreneur in. And, you know, when you say you, it's a we, and it's a big we, and there's a lot of us. I'm one of many. And I think the entrepreneurial thing is just, it's re-examining everything. Don't accept anything preconceived and start from scratch. But the problem with that and the challenge that we've had and the thing that has, particularly in the beginning, concerned me is, what if we build it and they don't come?
Yeah.
What if people, because our business, the lawyers are a risk-averse lot. And so we're asking risk-averse people to leave the security of the traditional model that they know and throw their lot in with us where no one gets a guaranteed salary.
Now, we've all seen many portrayals of attorneys out there. We've seen the Tom Cruises of the world, you know, in The Firm and stuff like that. He's got the slick back hair. He's all clean cut. And I see that you have the beard. And I want to know, hot or not for lawyers now, beard and... Does the beard give you strength? That's what I want to know. Because I understand you didn't have a beard at one time, and now you do have a beard, and I want to know.
I grew the beard about a year and a half ago. I experimented, then I shaved it off, then I experimented a little longer, and then I shaved it off. And when my wife didn't kick me down to the couch, I said, I might keep this thing. I do see more lawyers in our office with beards. Now, maybe it's because we just came out of Movember. And yeah. So people are just carrying their beards in. Let's see in the spring how many still have them.
Is your track record as far as courtroom wins, is it better with beard or without beard?
Let's see. I think...
I like that.
That's a really good question. And I'm not going to plead the fifth on that. I have more games under my belt without a beard. Yeah. So very limited sample size with the beard. But we did win a hearing this week, so I'm going to say I'm trending up with the beard.
Could be your source of strength. Yeah,
trend up pro beard. Now, how about best legal movie ever? Like, you've probably seen a lot of movies, and I bet you always get asked. I saw a legal movie, and people say, "Joe, is this real? Is it not real? How close is it to like reality?" You know. So, best one that you've ever seen?
Boy, there's a lot of good ones. I'm going to go with, and it's legal. Semi-legal. It's A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men.
Yeah, the courtroom scenes in that movie are just so memorable.
Are some attorneys really like that? Or some, you know, do you see attorneys that are out there that you just, they are so, you know, definite and firm in the way that they try cases?
Oh, absolutely. There's all different styles. But what resonates with juries is genuineness. So if that's not your style, don't try it in court.
So there's so many other law firms, what do you think is the, if I went and interviewed them about your firm, what's the biggest negative thing that I would hear?
I'm not going to plead the fifth. There are a lot of misconceptions out there about our firm because our model is so different. So what you'll hear from some other lawyers in town is they're a virtual firm. It's really just a collection of lawyers. And we have 80,000 square feet and our rent doesn't say we're a virtual firm. We're a really integrated firm. But because we're different and we're not like the others, there is a stigma for folks who don't want to think outside the box, that why would you do something outside the box when look at how the box works.
That's true.
For us, for the lawyers.
Yeah. Or as my students would say, Ted, haters gonna hate.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I was at this juncture. I had a few in my pocket here, Hanks.
Did you?
Yeah, and I was gonna ask the whole, you know, OJ guilty or innocent. I don't know really where that would have put Joe today, but I won't do that. I won't do that in this kind of broadcast on the Shrimp Tank here today. I will not do that. I want to know in a plea of the fifth, is $1,000 an hour more egregious than you should pay for an attorney? There are some attorneys that charge $1,000 an hour. At what juncture is too high, high?
I can't think of very many things that are worth $1,000 an hour. and guess what? Anything legal is not one of them. So
that would have been a better question. Have you ever paid $1,000 for what for an hour? But not.
I'm not going
right?
to plead the fifth. The answer is no.
Yeah, there's a reasonable fee for that. When you start paying those kind of numbers, it's insane.
Yeah, I think the numbers have gotten out of control. And again, it's driven by the model. It's driven by overhead that's gotten out of control. And in the traditional firms, it's driven by attorneys jumping from firm to firm and taking their business with them or threatening to. And so you have to start overpaying some people to keep them. And then that has a cascading effect.
Yeah.
And the client gets left out in that whole equation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mentioned a lot of that. Some of it is a perception of impact as well, because like I would rather, if I was an attorney, tell somebody that I charge $1,000 an hour as opposed to $700 an hour. That means I'm smarter than you. Right? The more I can say I bill, I'm assuming there's a perceived value there.
Well, I'll turn that on you as a client. Would that make you feel like you got a smarter lawyer?
But if I was the attorney, I would certainly want to be able to say that I charge more than others, therefore I'm smarter than others, kind of, you know, perception that you want to create.
Yeah. But what our attorneys have been able to say is, you knew me when I was $700 an hour, and now I'm with Taylor English and I'm $450.
Right.
And did I get any dumber?
Yeah, true. So what's the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you in a courtroom?
Oh, I'll answer that. When I was a baby lawyer in Philadelphia, I had a partner send me into the court for what was supposed to be get a routine continuance in a case. And I realized when I got down there why he didn't go himself, because the other law firm, which was a big firm in Philadelphia, sent two partners to this little motion for continuance, and they opposed it. And I didn't know any facts. I didn't know the case. So I stumbled my way through it, and the judge let me come back in the afternoon, and we came back and had a special hearing. By the time I came back, I still knew very little about the case. And guess what? I couldn't find that partner anywhere. So I did go back, and the judge said, well, do you want to do this in chambers, or do you want to do this in open court? And the other side said, in chambers is fine, judge. I said, open court? I want to do it in an open court. Whatever they wanted, I wanted the opposite. So we had the hearing. It went badly for me and for my client, because we had no grounds to get a continuance. It turned out we hadn't done anything we were supposed to do. And when I got up to leave, I picked up my briefcase off the table, and I hadn't closed it. I hadn't locked it. And all these papers went all over the courtroom.
Oh, man. Wow. So as a follow-on, just because I'm curious, because Ted's question about the movie, have you ever been tempted to use the phrase, you can't handle the truth?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever used it?
No.
You ever dropped that line?
I've had several clients I've needed to use that phrase with.
Well, hey, Joe, we appreciate you coming on the Shrimp Tank today. For those folks that are listening today and want to take advantage of getting some legal help from some 200 attorneys at your law firm and the many different specialties, how can people find out about more about you, your law firm, and what you offer, and how you may be able to help them solve some of their legal problems?
Thanks. We are on the web, the World Wide Web, at www.taylorenglish.com. No hyphens, just one word. We're also on Twitter, but I don't know our Twitter handle. I know mine. Mine is at Joe English. Or you can send me an email, jenglish@taylorenglish.com. And if I can't help you, I can promise you there's somebody up or down the halls that can.
That's awesome. We got to get Joe to do a tweet chat. We'll have him do it one day and answer legal questions. That'd be fun. Maybe even here on the Shrimp Tank for our budding entrepreneurs. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us on the Shrimp Tank. Remember, you can always download us on iTunes every single week. Listen to us in the car. get an entire replay of Joe's broadcast today. He gave us some great advice about running a business. Started from just a few attorneys to 200 attorneys, which is amazing. And you can check that out at shrimptankpodcast.com. And next week, we're bringing on the Gould Brothers. Now, this is 2 weeks, actually, right? We'll be off for the holiday week, and then we'll be back right here in the first week of January. I believe it'll be January 5th, and that will be our start date. Now, the Gould Brothers, it's interesting. You got to join us. They started a company called ThermoPro. Did you ever think, after seeing Bob Barker do Plinko on The Price is Right, that there would be a business selling Plinko boards to people who do trade shows? Well, apparently there is, and you'll learn more about it on January 5th right here on The Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the